Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time,
for the listeners that didn't get to go,
this is the payback.
Alabama wins!
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
All right. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. And Alabama fans, have we got a treat for you. We were able to source a interview with Dusty Thibodeau with the Warhawk Report. And you know you're in for a good football conversation when the name pops up on the Zoom and it's Dusty Thibodeau. That's just perfect. And in fact, we have a really good conversation. He has a lot of information, a lot of knowledge about the Warhawks, which is truly exciting. And he brought it up before the interview and he sort of worked it in, which I thought was great. But this season actually marks the 15th anniversary of the Warhawks coming to Tuscaloosa and beating our Crimson Tide. So I don't know. We need to be careful. Everyone take care of their business. I don't know that that's in the offing this Saturday, but it was neat to think back. Gosh, that's been 15 years ago. And what a ride it's been. And so we certainly have enjoyed that. All right, enough of the preamble. I'm going to jump in, pass the torch, interview, go. Hello and welcome back, Alabama fans. And have we got a treat for you. We've got Dusty with the Warhawk Report. Dusty, how are you tonight?
Good, man. You didn't want to try to pronounce Thibodeau to give it the full Cajun effect there of the Warhawks?
You know, when I think of Thibodeau, you know, you say that, I think of an old Dan Beard album. Dan Beard used to be a lead singer with the Georgia Satellites, and he had a song, and he sort of hit the emphasis Thibodeau, Louisiana, in the song. So every time I hear Thibodeau or think of Thibodeau, I think of that song. So there you go.
And the Warhawks are definitely fans of Thibodeau right now, having beaten Nicholls State last week, 35-7. So it's fresh.
There you go. See, it all connects. It all connects. I love it. Well, Dusty, talk to us about, the Warhawks, second year coach, Terry Bowden. Alabama fans might know a little bit about him, but talk about what he's doing there in Monroe with the Warhawks.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret. You do the Google searches, you listen to sports talk radio, you know ULM, lowest budget in all FBS football, until here recently in the lowly Sun Belt Conference. And now, you know, the Sun Belt definitely making a huge name for themselves amongst the G5 there. But Terry Bowden really coming in to try to right the ship, build a program from the ground up, a program that, you know, is way removed from a 1987 1AA national championship over Marshall and wins and over Idaho that season and several other of the traditional FCS powerhouses. But his job is really to right the ship, build a program, get the program to where they can be a consistent competitive team, go to the bowl games, go towards the upper end of the Sun Belt Conference, and maybe even try to win a Sun Belt Conference championship. A long road ahead of him, but definitely the plans are for him to be the man to really lead that.
You know, when you talk about building a program from the ground up, and I was going to work this in somewhere, but here's as good a place as any. When I look at the roster, it's almost mathematically impossible to comprehend the number of freshmen and sophomores on the roster. He is really building that. He truly is building that program up, or the roster from the ground up.
Yeah, you know, there's a good mix of portal guys, but he's really been kind of hesitant to take very many of them, knowing that it's kind of like the traditional JUCO guys where you have them for 2 years. Really, they're only effective for 1 year because that first year they're kind of learning your system, your program. And so he wants the guys that are going to be there for the 4 or 5 in the weird COVID craziness, 6 years to really build the culture, to build and really instill that culture of winning, that culture of doing whatever it takes in the off season and before the games to make sure that we're shining and looking good on Saturdays.
Right. You can tell the way he's doing it. He's really bought in for the long term. He's not bringing in, like you said, he's not bringing in a bunch of guys to get a splashy record and try to go somewhere. He is building this up. And again, I think I first noticed it on the linemen, looking at a roster. There's 23 linemen I saw on the roster, one junior, no seniors, and a lot of youngsters. Now there's some redshirts in there, sort of mixes up. But as I went up and down the roster, there was just a lot of youngsters. And looks like you said, strategically bringing in some guys. But just really building a young roster. And that might be fun to see how this team progresses, not only over the course of the balance of this season, but certainly future seasons. Hey, let's talk about a playmaker. I think you guys have yourself one there at that quarterback position, Chandler Rogers. You know, he only goes 6 foot, you know, 194, but he's sturdy and has some really good athleticism. You know, he's completing 77% of his passes. He threw to 10 different receivers, so he's distributing the ball sort of point guard style and athletic enough to run. He had a nice big run last week for a touchdown on one of our replay and really planted his foot and ran it in for the touchdown. Talk about what Tide fans can expect to see from Chandler.
Yeah, he's a guy that, you know, he has to be mobile. He has to be kind of agile, knowing that the offensive line is still trying to gel, still trying to come together. So you're going to see him maybe with a little bit too happy a feet in the backfield, but I think that that's really going to help him extend the plays. And as you said, get those receivers that those few seconds they need in order to get open downfield. But he's a smart kid. I mean, a guy that really already grasped the offense, having been in it 2 years. Last year split time with Rhett Rodriguez of Rich Rod, now at Jacksonville State. But I tell you, the fans really wanted Chandler Rogers all season long because they felt like he really gave the Warhawks the best chance to compete and really put themselves in possession. And last year, even though it was coming off of an 0-10 season, it was a frustrating year at 4-8. And everyone goes, you know, the expectation was 2 wins by the Vegas odds, 4 wins. You were less than a score from being 7-5 on the season. First year under Terry Bowden. So it's frustrating to see how close it is. And a guy like Chandler Rogers can be the difference maker to really turn the tide in those games.
Yeah, absolutely. He definitely looks like a playmaker. He's going to be a fun one to watch Saturday and into the future. You know, the receiving core, it looks like Jevin Frett is sort of the leading receiver, but a lot of guys catching balls. Again, sort of 10 different receivers last week. Who are some of the playmakers for Tide fans to watch out for?
Yeah, Jevin Frith's definitely been one of the big targets there that he's like throwing to. Zach Rasmussen at the tight end position. You can't overlook the best name in all of college football, Boogie Knight, at the receiver position. Followed Bowden down from Akron as a graduate transfer now. The guy's good, but I think that his name is out there so much that you'll see he's double, triple teamed, and he just doesn't have the opportunities to even get the targets to make the play. Maybe that's good, and that frees up a lot of the other guys on the other side of the line, but we just haven't seen the production that we've wanted out of him, especially for having just such a great name that you just want to jump all over.
Right. You definitely want to see some action there. Talk about Alfred Luke. He had a 68-yarder last week. Is he the speedster on the edge to watch out for?
He's definitely got some speed. I think a lot of that, though, was just mismatches against the Nichols Colonels. Definitely not something that we saw in week one against Texas and you know, something that we probably will not see this week against Alabama. But I'm anxious to see in 2 weeks when we're playing Louisiana Lafayette kind of how we match up with teams that are more on the G5 level. Yeah. Because I think that there's a lot of good matchups there. The Warhawks might have a little bit of an edge on, but we won't know until next week.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Fred Lloyd Jr., 6'3", 220, looks like a big body at the wide receiver position. Is he going to be, a target near the goal line?
Yeah, you got to think that he's going to be in the mix, but Tyrone Howell is going to be the bigger transfer coming in from K-State, I believe, is where he was coming in from. They really like running to these tall, lanky, long receivers to really have them go up and go grab the ball on the high ball, especially around the red zone inside the 10, especially. So we might see him, but we might see some runs up the middle as well, just depending on how that offensive line is holding up.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Zach Rasmussen at the tight end position. Looks like he's, potentially a true tight end, 6'4", 235. So he's got some heft to him. Does he play a little bit of inline and a little bit of split out, or what can Tide fans expect from the tight end?
No, he's mostly a tight to the tackle lineman. A guy that I'm interested to see, and maybe we do get some peeks at him on Saturday, depending on what the status of the score is and everything. Garrett Common, he was a quarterback coming out of West Monroe, just across the river from Monroe. Due to shoulder injuries, though, really not able to be an effective quarterback. But they made him, with his size, go out to the tight end position. So anxious to kind of see how he does, running some routes, maybe getting some hits, and just seeing how that transition's going for him.
You said the offensive line was still gelling. Who are some of the big cats or big dogs up front to watch out for?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely starts all in the middle with Zoran McGill. He's a JUCO transfer from Jones Community College. He came in the spring and really just dominated. I mean, he was definitely the guy of that offensive line and showcased it. Does a great job up the middle. If you'll notice on the two games that we've had, any pressure that's come has come from the tackle positions where you do have some youth and inexperience. I say that they're sophomores, so they've been around the game a little bit. Keydrell Lewis is a San Jose State transfer. His backup, Stacy Wilkins from OU, they just transferred into ULM trying to look for more play time. And so it's anxious to see, again, as they are swapping in and out, because you'll see that the offensive line is in and out. They're not playing just the best five, best six guys. They'll play 10, 12, almost like a basketball roster.
Nice. Talk about running back junior Malik Jackson. He's the leading rusher. Looks like there's some distribution at the position. Who are some of the go-to backs?
Yeah, it's Malik Jackson, ironically, right there from Opelika originally. Wound up going to Lufkin, Texas, and then to ULM. And then Andrew Henry. Andrew Henry is a third-year starter, always been getting the big touches, has good explosiveness through the offensive line. I think Malik, though, is more of kind of the all-purpose back, and so you'll see Malik probably a little bit more than Andrew Henry.
Let's flip the field and talk defense a little bit. On paper, it looks like you guys are lining up in a 3-3-5, when there's always sort of clever names about positions. I always want to ask that. And so one lineup, our roster that I saw looked like a 3-3-5 with a bandit. Looks like maybe a hybrid outside linebacker and a star, which is really I consider like a nickel corner. How do you guys deploy those positions? What kind of schematic do you see on the defensive side?
Yeah, it's really almost a 3-8. Honestly, those linebackers are more bigger defensive backs than they are true linebackers. The guy really that I've been impressed with so far, Tristan Driggers, sophomore, he's got an interception each week. Had one opening week against Texas, one this past week against Nichols. Anxious to see, can he get another one this week? I think also on the defensive front, Caleb Thomas, a graduate, he's a big body. I mean, 6'1", right at 300 pounds. He holds his own there at the nose tackle position. And then, of course, another linebacker, cornerback, tweener, as we call him, Zach Woodard, another graduate transfer. He's a guy that is just all over the place and is really the quarterback of that defense. He's the guy that's going to lead them and be the one to set the tone.
In the secondary, who's the biggest cover guy? Who's the biggest stumper in the secondary?
Yeah, I mean, the secondary really hasn't been tested. And I know that sounds weird with the big passing game there that Texas had, but they had a lot of deep balls that there was just nobody there. And so, again, with it being so new into the season, trying to see what exactly does that look like? Was Texas that much faster and they were just blowing by the secondary? Is that just a bad secondary maybe that ULM has? Well, I don't think we really know. And so I don't think it's fair to kind of single out the individual guys without having a good comparison of what they're really going to look like.
No, that's fair. We should present Alabama should present a pretty good opportunity. We're very young at the wide receiver, inexperienced at the wide receiver, and one of the biggest knock coming out of our Texas game last week was separation. Not able to get separation. A lot of riders were saying that, you know, we're just completely devoid of speed and separation capability at the position. I think that's probably a little bit of a stretch, but directionally, I think there's some truth to it. And so it might be an interesting test, you know, different team, but it might be an area where I thought we had a chance to be strong and maybe we're not. So we may get to see a couple of these secondary guys, how they play out. I love, and again, if I'm reading the roster right, I love the confidence of the corners, because you got looks like a Lou Tillery wearing sport number 0 and Deuce Mayberry sport number 1. I think if you could somehow sort of draft sort of the, I don't want to say cocky in the wrong way, but sort of your most confident players, those are numbers they're going to gravitate to, right?
You got to go Buckshot Jones and 00, man.
There you go. I love it. Hey, let me get you out of here on this one. I appreciate you spending some time with us. This season or sort of all time, favorite Warhawk?
Man, you know, I really liked Kinsman Lancaster. He was on that 07 team that went to Alabama and got the win, was able to pull off the miraculous down the stretch streak to get us to a 6-6 in bowl eligibility that season. Colton Browning, obviously, the 2012 season, the guy that you see diving over the goal line in overtime to beat Arkansas. He was a great, plus being a lefty, you know, how could you not love him? Frank Gooden, another running back that was on that 07 team, another great guy there. There's just so many that I've seen throughout my time, man. And if you want to really go old school, how could you go wrong against good old Stan the Man Humphreys?
Right. Absolutely. How about that? Fantastic. Dusty, are you making the trip to Tuscaloosa this weekend?
I am not. So part of my side gig, in addition to running Warhawk Report, part of the Rivals Network, is running Fun Belt Podcast that covers all of the Sun Belt Conference. So I will be in Houston, Texas, watching Louisiana Lafayette against Rice.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I love the name, too, the Fun Belt, the Sun Belt. Fun Belt. Yeah. I love that. Fantastic. I love it. Dusty, we appreciate you having you on. Good luck to the Warhawks Saturday as well as the rest of the season. And good luck to you and all that you're doing.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. Take care. And welcome back. We appreciate everyone listening to the interview. Again, Dusty Thibodeau, I thought, had some really good information. Helped us understand the Warhawks a little bit better, the program that they're building there. And I suspect that they're a program on the rise. We're not going to see sort of their full fruition on Saturday, but certainly something to look for. I think the next couple of seasons, they have a chance to really sort of bloom into something. And, of course, you got to see my useless musical knowledge, just Satellites and Dan Baird. Man, I used to really love that music. And so there you go. So anytime I hear Thibodeau, makes me think of that. But we appreciate Dusty. We appreciate the interview. We appreciate you guys, every single one of you listening week after week. We do appreciate it. If you like this type of content, and many of you have commented, hey, other podcasts don't do this interview. And so we enjoy it. We hope that you enjoy it. If you do, I'm going to ask for two favors. If you enjoy it, go to your podcast download vehicle, whatever that is, and leave us a review. Hopefully 5-star. That'll help other people find us. If you like it, other people will like it. And the high reviews help us become more searchable. And if you really like this content, you really like hanging out, and you want to contribute to, because there's a cost in producing this, and if you want to contribute to more of this type of what I call like extra content, then consider joining our support team, where you'll get early access to this. You probably won't get a hold of this outside of that program until Wednesday or Thursday, this interview. But it's going to be posted, a raw version of it will be posted Tuesday night and available for download at that time. So if that's something that's of interest to you, if you support the show, we greatly appreciate it. It's next to no cost. There's a version that's $2 a month. And so you can just enroll during the football season and cancel. No hard feelings. Or there's an annual, which is $18. And so it's a little less than the $24 if you went two monthly. Sort of gives you the summer off, if you will. And for $18 for a full year, it's a really good program. It's a really good deal. And it, again, it helps us do content like this. All right, that's more explanation than it is hard sell. We love everyone that listens, even if you don't sign up for those things. It's just an opportunity to support if you'd like. But that said, thank you all, and roll tide. Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a roll tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the tide. Got that, coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.